great Berlin Wall of disinformation. It's your host, live and uncensored, David Knight.
Welcome back. We have now been on for 24 hours here at InfoWars as part of our Operation Paul Revere. It's Friday, March the 2nd, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We've just had some more news from CNN. They have invented a new gun, the full semi-automatic AR. The full semi-automatic AR. Yeah, this is CNN news. That's also an oxymoron, CNN news, that you can trust. And this is a guy on CNN, a retired lieutenant general, that they got to sell you on the idea of a full semi-automatic AR. They talk about assault weapons. They've never defined them. They don't have any idea what they're talking about. But you and I know what they're talking about. They're talking about taking our rights, our property, our due process. We cannot allow this to happen. And we can't. We've got to push back. Hopefully, President Trump has gotten the memo now about the Second Amendment. Because we've had an NRA lobbyist with him and say, he supports it. He tweeted, we got to support the Second Amendment. We got to support due process. Every day we get a new president. So it doesn't help to trash our fundamental rights as a bully pulpit meeting. It doesn't help anything. And it doesn't help his election chances. It also doesn't help the election chances of the GOP to throw them under the bus, to throw innocent gun owners under the bus. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Of course, the other thing that everybody is upset about today, which actually I think is a good thing, the import duties that have been put on steel and aluminum and so forth, understand that we don't have a level playing field here. We're talking yesterday about President Xi Jinping of China. The Chinese are very concerned about him. He is turning into a full-blown dictator. And in an effort to shut down criticism, he has banned books from Orwell, fittingly enough, Animal Farm, 1984, and so forth. Even reports that he banned the letter N. They had no explanation for that. And it's really kind of strange, too. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, we had a good time with it yesterday. But, the Chinese don't have letters like we do in Western writing. They have characters. This guy is a character, but I don't know if he banned the letter N or not. I just don't understand what that is about. But they've had the Great Firewall of China for quite some time. It's been a model of censorship that the left and even many Republicans would love to have. It's certainly something that Google and Apple have embraced, and they would like to see more of this happening. They say, well, our hands are tied and so forth. Yeah, we hear that. We hear that all the time. And when you look at all of these cries for instant censorship on Facebook saying, you're only going to have 2 hours to get down what we consider to be terrorist videos or else. And so then Facebook comes back and says, my hands are tied because I've got to have tools that are going to censor stuff just like that. And if they get the wrong thing and we censor you, sorry, you lost your channel. And that has happened to Jerome Corsi. He's going to be our guest later in the program. YouTube has completely deleted his channel. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Jerome Corsi. And one of the articles coming out said this guy actually had an article about armed teachers in school being an effective way to provide security for students. Can you imagine? USA Today put that up and this guy works for InfoWars? He actually was making, don't judge him on the content of his articles. Yeah, just go by the labels. And we've got more news about that. We've got Jim Crow being brought back by the Democrat Party, especially Chuck Schumer. Don't let that guy become a federal judge. He's white. We don't want any white federal judges. We don't want any authors from InfoWars. We're going to censor that down. We're going to do it in just a couple of hours. And then the government comes back and says, oh, but they're private businesses. They can censor whatever they want. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
You found it. It's the real news. InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to the final 10 hours. We've been on for 24 hours here at InfoWars, the final 10 hours of our Operation Paul Revere. And in honor of our marathon here in support of free speech and opposition to censorship, we had Google, YouTube, shut down Dr. Jerome Corsi, our Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief. And so we're going to have him on later in the program to talk about this. And I want to welcome a new radio station, KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. You know, radio is very important for getting this message out. Because what we're seeing here with social media and the internet is they're enacting a broad censorship of ideas. Radio is great. Nobody knows if you're listening, except for the sponsors, because you support them, I hope, for stations like KYAH 540. And you can hear Jerome Corsi later today talking about how he's being censored by the internet, censored by the social media powerhouses, the oligarchy that is now controlling the internet speech. You'll be able to hear him on radio. You are going to see him on YouTube. And so, actually, we still have a channel up on YouTube. Don't know how much longer that's going to last, but he will be broadcast there as well. But welcome to the people there in Utah, Utah's Talk Authority, KYAH 540 AM. Everybody is talking about the tariffs that President Trump has put on. Wall Street is very upset about this. They don't like that. But you know what? Manufacturing in the U.S. has expanded at the fastest pace since May of 2004. It seems like Wall Street, when things are good, stocks go down because they feel that, it isn't that they are trying to scupper things. Certainly the Federal Reserve is, but the people on Wall Street are looking at this and saying, well, if we got good news, let's sell. But then other people are saying, well, they're selling because they think a trade war is going to come. President Trump said, trade wars are good. You know, so when somebody takes your stuff, sometimes you have to fight to get it back. And we've had our stuff not just taken. We've had our stuff given away. There's an article by Patrick Buchanan. You can find it on WND, The Fatal Delusions of Western Man. And in it, he said, we got China wrong. Now what do we do? And that was a headline not from him, but from the Washington Post. The Washington Post said, remember how American engagement with China was going to make that communist backwater more like a democratic capitalist West? It didn't happen, did it? Now we got President Xi, who is enacting not only a lifetime, getting rid of term limits. They had two term limits for the president. He said, no, we're going to get rid of that. And we're going to get rid of a lot of things that are in our Constitution, because that's what dictators do. That's why you don't let them do that. That's why so many people got upset about the loose talk at the bully pulpit television meeting that President Trump had 2 days ago. But Xi Jinping is now setting up the Constitution to let him be dictator for life, for life. And this is a country that when we talk about the China price, and President Trump is well aware of what the China price is, and it isn't simply currency manipulation. That's a big part of it, and that's something that President Trump has talked about. But it's also the unfair trade, the subsidized trade, but also things like intellectual property theft. That is a huge part of the China price. The fact that they can steal anybody's intellectual property, they can steal copyrights, patent ideas from other people. They'll manufacture them in China. Just talk to some of the automobile companies, like General Motors, that decided that they would partner with people in China. Of course, you're not going to be able to build a factory there unless the factory is going to be owned largely in China. But then once you start building that that car or whatever the product is, don't be surprised that you're going to find an exact duplicate knockoff of that that gets to the market just before your product arrives, the one that you spent all the money developing. That's one of the things that they do. One of the other things that they've done to American business, which is really insidious, because so many products are outsourced to China for manufacturing. The Chinese, not only just stealing property, stealing intellectual property rights, but they will steal brands. And so it's not uncommon for pirate manufacturers in China to work with the people who are subcontracting to build, let's say, for instance, brakes for cars. And the packaging will look so real, because actually it is the same packaging. But instead of it actually being a brake that has a proper brake material in it, it will have nothing but compressed paper. And so when you put it in your car and your brakes don't work and you have an accident, what do? You sue the automobile, the American automobile company that did that. These are all the things that are going on in China. And as Pat Buchanan points out, they're still fortifying islands, artificial islands that they built in the South China Sea. And of course, that is not close to China. It's right off the coast of the Philippines, as I said before. The Gulf of Mexico, if the Mexicans were to build artificial islands just off the coast of Tampa Bay, is the analogy here. And not only are they building these artificial islands, destroying environmental natural reefs, you don't really hear the UN and the environmentalists complaining about that, do you? Just like they don't complain about China's dirty coal manufacturing or coal electricity generation plants. They don't care about that. It is so dirty in China and India where they're manufacturing all this steel. They say, hell, steel is being manufactured in India and China. Why is that? Well, they can do it without any restrictions on air quality. But of course, in the Paris Climate Agreement, we weren't going to worry about that. No problem. It's supposed to be a global problem, right? But it's not a problem if China and India do it. If China and India build coal electricity plants that are so dirty that you only have to have a car with 36 miles per gallon, an internal combustion engine with 36 miles per gallon, to have a cleaner environment than if you had electric cars there, because their power generation plants are so dirty. But they build them cheaply. That's why they're dirty, and they can build then cheap steel and other things. And they can take our jobs. This is not the end of the world if we have steel and aluminum manufactured in the United States, if we have tariffs at the border. As I've said before, Thomas Jefferson said at the beginning of his second term in his inaugural address, he said, we have eliminated at the federal government level all internal taxation in America. No farmer, no laborer, no mechanic knows the tax man. They had reduced the size of government so they could fund the constitutionally sized American government at that time simply with import duties. And all of America was a free trade zone. As far as the federal government was concerned, there were internal taxes with the individual states, but it was a free trade zone inside. And that worked pretty good. It also works pretty good when you have a really small government. That was another thing. But as Pat Buchanan said, we feed the monster and we feed the tiger and we created a monster. And where is this all going? It is an export of capital, an export of manufacturing, of know-how, of jobs. And then we import cheap labor into our country. Why? Because this is the UN agenda. And as we talk about guns, remember that we needed to have a staunchly anti-conservative Richard Nixon in order to do this deal with China, in order to transfer our wealth, our economy, our manufacturing know-how. We had to have a staunchly anti-communist Richard Nixon to turn it over to the communists. Just like we had to have Ronald Reagan to get the Brady Bill. We had Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford write letters in support of Dianne Feinstein's 1994 assault weapons ban. Or like we had George H.W. Bush sign Joe Biden's Gun-Free School Act of 1990. See, this is why you can't take anything for granted. And this is the way these people work. The people who have a global agenda will find somebody that you trust. They'll put them in office. So you say, it's okay, he's got it. He's playing 4D chess. This guy would never betray me. And then they do. All right, stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk about what life is going to look like here in America with this UN Agenda 21. Homes made of concrete tubes as a solution to the housing crisis. I don't know if that's much of a solution. Okay, so they've been dealing away your jobs for a long time. We've seen that happening. President Trump has expanded manufacturing at the fastest rate since 2004. That's very good news. But Wall Street's very upset because we're going to start protecting our steel and aluminum industries that have been unfairly given away to the Chinese. And I heard some comments on some people saying, well, most of these plants are owned by foreign companies, so whatever. Well, they will be American jobs, hopefully, unless we bring in foreign labor to take these jobs. Or unless the robots take your jobs, because this is what is coming down the pipe, folks. The real threat to us, and we better get this threat of the open borders taken care of right now. This is something that President Trump can do. He doesn't need the approval of a federal judge to do this. Did he get the federal judge to approve us going into Syria or into Yemen or into Afghanistan or into Iraq? Do we have to submit approval for everything to a federal judge? There are certain things that are the power of the president, and one of those things is defense. Now, whether or not you agree, and I don't agree, with us going into Syria for regime change, but we have taken the position that the president gets to make those calls on a lot of different issues, and the judges haven't tried to stop any of that. But the president, the real issue of defense for our country, the real issue of defense is protecting our borders. Not trying to do regime change in Syria or Afghanistan, trying to build a nation in Iraq. That's not the responsibility of the American government, even though they're doing it. And nobody is challenging them on that in the federal government. But if you try to protect the borders of America, then you get challenged by the federal judiciary. And so Trump and the Republicans just need to say, we're going to fund this out of the defense budget. We're going to fund the wall out of the defense budget. We're going to bring troops home. We're going to put them on the border until we build the wall. This is a national defense issue. And if we can't defend our borders, then just shut down the Department of Defense or call it something else. Just call it the Department of Empire. As we look at what is coming up in this country, as we don't have any defense of our borders, and as we have foreign workers coming in, to take our jobs or to live at our expense, to be educated by us, because we're going to be the world's orphanage, as Representative Mo Brooks pointed out. We can't afford to be the world's orphanage. But take a look at what is happening in Hong Kong. Because the UN agenda that began with the transfer of our wealth to China also has an endgame. They called it UN Agenda 21 because it's going to happen sometime in the 21st century. And then they started talking about, 2020, 2030, that's really the time frame they want to bring everything in. We had Eric Schmidt come out and say, we're going to have the singularity in one or two decades. But don't worry. He says, all you guys are worried about the Terminator scenario where the machines get smart and they start to attack. Don't worry, that's 10 or 20 years away. He was serious about it. Don't worry about that. 2030, 2040. So they've now got UN Agenda 2030, the UN Agenda for Sustainability. So they've gotten more specific. It's no longer just the 21st century. But what they have always been doing is trying to run people off the land, as we have seen with the ranchers, the miners, the loggers, the people who had property rights that were either on the surface or they were under the surface, or it was dead wood that they could take out so we wouldn't have as many forest fires. No, they're pushing everybody off the land, taking those property rights. They're going to eventually take your property rights in the suburbs. As a matter of fact, they've already started that up in Washington State. When I was up there on vacation last summer, out in the suburbs, doing the same thing now, pushing the people in the suburbs out, saying, we need that for a new park. So you got to go. Your home is now going to be taken. And I said to people, we looked at what was happening with the Bundys, with the Hammonds and others. They're going to be coming for those people in the suburbs taking their homes. Because if you don't have, they're not going to respect the property rights that people have had for hundreds of years in terms of grazing rights, water rights, mineral rights, logging rights. All those things can happen on the same piece of land. And so all these people are not claiming that they own the land. You think that you own the land that your house is on, but you're just renting it from the government, and they're about ready to evict everybody and push you into the cities. And what is this going to look like? Well, we can see it right now in Hong Kong. As we point out in the BBC, Hong Kong's got 7.4 million people in a very small area. So that gives them a housing problem. And the housing problem means that things get extremely expensive and your houses get extremely small. And of course, that's going to be accelerated here in the United States because we're bringing in massive amounts of people, but also we're funding these education systems and programs from kindergarten through college and doing it in a very preferential way for the people who are foreigners. We give them more than we give our own American citizens who are here. They get, as the New York governor has proposed, let's give foreign citizens free tuition. The illegal aliens that are here, they get free tuition. You might get a little bit of a discount if you've been living here, in-state tuition. But, of course, they can get in-state tuition anywhere. And in New York, they can get free tuition. So everybody go there. Take their system down first. That's my suggestion. But anyway, going back to what this is going to look like. A lot of people, lower standard of living, your American dream disappearing because you can't afford the property taxes that pay for these schools. And so what do they have in Hong Kong? Well, they've got insanely small flats, says the BBC. These are people who think that we live in McMansions here in the United States because our houses are much bigger than they are in the UK. So they say they're insanely small flats. They're known as nano homes. One such home, smaller than a parking space in Hong Kong, just 121 square feet. We were talking about 200 square feet or 300 square feet a couple of years ago. And now it's down to 121 square feet. Oh, but it's going lower than that. Because a 121-square-foot nano home in Hong Kong goes for $242,805. That's one that just recently sold. That's how desperate people are there. And so what are people doing to live in Hong Kong? Well, they're going to something that is about... they've got one thing that they've got is what they call a cage house. Oh, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? A cage house. It's about 16 square feet. 16 square feet. They've gone now smaller than a parking space. You know, these nano homes were size of a parking space, 121 square feet. Now they go down to 16 square feet for the cage home. A typical cage house will have three levels of bunk beds. And then in order to have security and privacy, you get a corrugated mesh surrounding your area, a bit like a jail, they said. It is a dire form of living. This is where we're going with Agenda 21, the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability. Pack all the people into big megacities so we can live like the people in Hong Kong are living. Meanwhile, a cage unit isn't too much cheaper. It is $375 a month. $375 a month for 16 square feet, and you live literally in a cage. So now they're coming up with a great idea. They're going to have giant concrete water pipes that you can stack on top of each other. They call them O-pods. Oh, that's so trendy. Isn't that great? I don't know if that's going to be any better or not. I mean, this is what they're talking about here in America. And this is why we need the Second Amendment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Not sorry when snowflakes can't handle the truth. It's your host, David Knight.
Uber and Lyft are begging government for a monopoly on self-driving cars. You know, we look at what Apple and Google are doing with China. They have absolutely no morals. They will deal with a tyrannical government if they can get a monopoly, if they can do business, if they can build stuff there cheaply. That's exactly what's going to happen in our future, in our country. You know, we're going to get to the reactions to President Trump's statements, including his own reaction to his own statement in the next segment, probably. But we might get to it in this segment. I've got to say, before we get back to the Second Amendment, this is where this is all headed, folks. As I say over and over again, what the military says, you have to control a population. You need to control the way they move, communicate, and shoot. Well, we know what the communicate and shoot is about. That's the First and Second Amendment. But we haven't really thought about that first part, the movement part, have we? Because this is all part of the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability that we've been talking about, or UN Agenda 21 was the older name for it. And now we got Uber and Lyft begging government for monopoly on self-driving cars that you are not going to own. That's another part of it. To take away the ownership. And I was just talking about housing in Hong Kong. We get down to the point where they've got a cage house where you're living inside corrugated wire, 16 square feet, and they don't even own it. They're paying $375 a month for that. That is the existence that we're going to be facing if we allow these people to continue with these policies that are being pushed by the United Nations. Policies of global governance, open borders, and these other issues. This is why we cannot be misled or back off of the border commitment. We can't say, these dreamers, this is great. We have to do something for the dreamers. I don't know what, but we're going to do something for the dreamers. And I don't know what we're going to do about guns, but we got to do something. No, you don't. There are some things that need to be done. Maybe what you should do is give us back some of the freedoms that you have sliced away as you've infringed on the Second Amendment. Maybe you should enforce the border and start doing that right now. But if we continue to go down this path, they are removing our ability to communicate with each other. They want to remove our ability to fight back. And they're going to restrict our movement to the cities so they can control us. Uber and Lyft want a monopoly on self-driving cars. Of course they do, because they want a renter economy. It's all about smart cities, all about no ownership, all about monopolies for a few corporations, whether it will be Uber or Lyft. It might be Ford and General Motors who have a monopoly on renting you self-driving cars, renting mobility by the ride. And then, of course, 5G is a big part of that. When you look at the recent car shows, the consumer electronics shows, they were all about smart cities, 5G, monitoring everything that you do, and renting everything to you, taking away all your ownership rights. And as we look at this, this all continues to come together. We got an Illinois Democrat representative, Danny Davis, pushing a bill to put big taxes on everything associated with firearms, ammunition, everything else. And he says, hey, I'm okay with only rich people having guns. They're okay with only rich people having homes. They're okay with only rich people having the ability to move around, to have cars. This is a black Democrat who is okay with only rich people having guns. He's okay with that. He says, I want to put a 50% federal tax on all guns and ammunition. That's the bill that he introduced on Tuesday called the Gun Violence Prevention and Safe Communities Act. This is a congressman from Illinois. He says, so if rich people can only get firearms, then only rich people will be able to pay the price. And if that could prevent some people from getting them, I'd want to prevent all people from getting them. But if rich people were willing and would continue to pay the price, I'd be happy that we kept the other group from getting them. See, he wants an outright ban. But if he can't do it, he'll still let the rich people have the guns. Let me ask Danny Davis of Illinois, Congressman Danny Davis, who he thinks the rich people are that have the guns that are shooting up Chicago, for example. Would that be the people that are driving the Lamborghinis and Ferraris and doing drive-by shootings? Would those be the people who were making a lot of money from drug prohibition? And what about the poor people who can't defend themselves against those rich people because they're making so much money in the black market? Do you think they'd be able to pay the tax? Of course they would. But they're going to get any weapon that they wish in the black market, just like they can sell any drug that they wish to people in the black market. That's how prohibition works. You get more intense forms of the drugs. You'll get more intense forms of the guns. And you're not going to stop it. So that's what's happening in Chicago. But what he wants to do, here's the specifics. He wants to increase federal excise tax on ammunition, shells, and cartridges anywhere from 11% to 50%. Depending on the type of shell or cartridge. I guess he's got some that he likes and some that he doesn't like. As a matter of fact, let's get video number 9, Dianne Feinstein talking about rapid-fire magazines. Let's play that, because here's Dianne Feinstein. You know, she banned assault rifles. She never came up with a definition for assault rifles, but they had a long list of hundreds of guns that they specifically banned. But here's Dianne Feinstein talking about rapid-fire magazines.
Well, it was a priority. We moved legislation in the House at that point. We were not able to get the 60 votes for those proposals in the Senate.
That's Wasserman Schultz.
But that's not an excuse. I mean, these issues, making sure that we can do something about eliminating military-style weapons from
society. Let's do something. Military.
And only making sure that people who are in the military can utilize them rather than civilians, and making sure that we don't have high-capacity, rapid-fire magazines that allow mass killings and that whose primary purpose is only to achieve that. That's going to solve this problem.
And again, there aren't any magazines that fire more rapidly than other magazines. They have different capacity, but they don't fire any more rapidly. And so only the military should have firearms, because we've got military experts like Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, who went on CNN and started talking about full semi-automatic AR-15s. Full semi-automatic AR-15s. They don't know the difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic. They don't define what assault rifle is. They think that some magazines fire faster than others. And yesterday I was talking about how Feinstein, that's where I got the Feinstein in there, Feinstein was saying, you know, a bullet shot by a pistol, it's just like being stabbed with a bullet. But it's those rifles that'll kill you. And then we had an anchor from, I think it was MSNBC, who was saying, the bullets out of rifles are so much faster than the ones out of pistols, you don't stand a chance. This is the insanity that these people are pushing. And we cannot allow the ignorant adults like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, like Dianne Feinstein, like the military guy, Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, we can't allow these people to control the debate. And we can't allow this type of attitude that something must be done. We don't know what it is. Let's not talk about or identify the problem. Let me tell you, when you talk about mental health, and you don't talk about the elephant in the room. There's Dianne Feinstein. She was so excited at that meeting. She just could not contain her glee. The Wicked Witch of the West. It's not enough to say you've got to do something. You have to know what the nature of the problem is, because the doing something can make that problem worse if you don't know what you're talking about. And when you start talking about mental health, and you don't start talking about SSRI drugs that are being prescribed by the AMA, pushed by Big Pharma, and you don't talk about that because you don't want to offend your buddies in the mainstream media like Fox or even CNN. Not allowed to talk about that. So you want to ignore that elephant in the room, and you just want to talk about mental health. Well, that in and of itself, when we talk about mental health, I've got a story that I think epitomizes this perfectly, and we'll talk about this in the next break. It's the story of Adrian Schoolcraft. As a New York City police officer. And it hits on so many different aspects of this. It hits on a police department that is focused on fines rather than stopping crime. A police department that is trying to curry favor with the feds that wants small numbers on statistics. And then the way they came after this guy who recorded the corruption, they put him in a mental institution. Of course, he wasn't mentally ill at all. It's always been a tool of tyranny. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to talk about the case of Adrian Schoolcraft, because this honest police officer who was attacked worse than any other individual that I know of, besides, let's say, Frank Serpico, who they tried to kill because he opposed corruption. Adrian Schoolcraft opposed corruption. He opposed in New York what he saw the New York Police Department doing, which was standing down, covering up real crime and attacking people because they could get money out of it, but covering up the crime so they could look good to the federal officials. That's an example of how law enforcement gets corrupted and doesn't do its job and focuses on something else. But then it's also a tale about how they came after Adrian Schoolcraft using the traditional weapon of 20th century tyranny, which is accusations of mental health. And I'll tell you how they did this, but it has been the weapon of choice of tyrants and of corrupt governments throughout the 20th century and beyond, ever since we've had psychiatry out there. It gives them a great tool, you know, just the saying in Stalin's Russia was, you oppose the government? You must be crazy. Take him away. And that's basically what they did, Adrian Schoolcraft. Before we get to that story, before we comment any more on the pushback from Republicans and some people who are standing up for the Second Amendment, I'm glad to see I'm not the only one who is speaking out on this. Because, you know, we cannot sit silently by when somebody cavalierly trash talks the Bill of Rights, not only the Second Amendment, but the Sixth Amendment as well. You know, we look at the Constitution. We talk about that generically. But when I talk about how wonderful the Constitution is, most of it is just a bunch of arbitrary rules and regulations. Any government could have produced that. What is unique about the Constitution are the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. And if you look at that along with the Declaration of Independence, it really what defines us as individuals. These are landmark documents in civilization's history that define the proper role of government so that we have dignity and freedom as human beings. The principles set out in the Declaration of Independence, the principles set out in the Bill of Rights, those are sacrosanct. And they're also prohibitions for government. So you don't infringe those. You don't trash talk them in your bully pulpit. They're not to be used as bargaining chips so that you can win a deal. And if, as Tucker Carlson pointed out, if Obama had said these types of things, we'd be rightfully calling for impeachment. So you want to keep talking like this. And I think he's gotten the message. Enough people have pushed back. And that's the important thing, too. When something like this happens, even if it's somebody that you support, even if it's somebody that's done a lot of good things, even if it's somebody that's in your party, you don't sit back and give them a pass and say, it's okay, he's just playing 4D chess. He's got this. He's just trolling these people. It's just a rope-a-dope or whatever. No, you're the dope. And you're the pawn, if you think like that. If somebody starts trash-talking the fundamental rights that we possess as human beings, the things that they swore to uphold, then you better, at the very least, criticize that and push back against that and say, you may better think about that again and correct what you had to say. And you better do it right away. And hopefully, President Trump appears to have gotten a little bit of that message. He put a tweet out, but we don't know what he's going to say tomorrow, really, do we? No, you don't ever give people a pass like that. And if you take it for granted, that's when you get things like the Brady Bill, the Gun-Free School Zone Act, and the Assault Weapons Ban, because that was when we saw Republican leaders cave. You know, the whole purpose of leadership is to articulate a set of core principles. That's what our founders did with the Declaration of Independence. That's what they did with the Bill of Rights. You set out a vision for where we're going to go. And then you persuade people with the bully pulpit to go that way. You don't trash talk and support the opposition. And you don't go in one direction one day and then go 180 degrees in a different direction the next day. That's not leadership. That's evidence of mental illness, if there ever was any evidence of mental illness. And it's evidence of manipulation. So don't talk like that. So we're going to talk about the situation with Adrian Schoolcraft real quickly before we do. We've got the Operation Paul Revere special that we've got going right now. A lot of items on special to help support free speech because it's being shut down everywhere on the internet. We've got Jerome Corsi joining us in the next hour. He's just been banned from YouTube, and he's our Washington correspondent. CNN is pushing to have us thrown off our main channel, thrown off of YouTube. Lobbying CNN. And, you know, it is lobbying when you write articles and say, we call them and we ask them, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they go after that one? Why didn't they do that? They're bullying and harassing people just as CNN and doing it at the same time, saying shut down InfoWars on YouTube because they're bullying and harassing by commenting on what these young students are saying as they try to take away our God-given rights. And they were doing the same thing to a student that they were trying to control in their town hall, who pushed back against that. They attacked him. They attacked his father. They bullied them. They harassed them. Maybe we should get them pushed off, but that's not the way that we roll. We're not calling for CNN to be shut down. We can beat them in the marketplace of ideas. They can't beat us. That's why they need to try to censor us. That's what the left does. They don't argue with you. they throw you in a mental institution, or they shut down your organization. All right, here's some of the specials that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got Super Male, Super Female Vitality, 50% off. We have the Real Red Pill, 50% off. Biome Defense, 50% off. True Whey, 50% off. Prebiotic Fiber, that's probiotics as well as fiber to fill up your stomach as well as to get your probiotics. That's 50% off. We have Aegis Armor Backpack Insert, 20% off. And we have a clearance on much of our apparel, 80% off. So take a look at the massive savings that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. You know, most people listen to the program and they don't support it. And if you don't do that, it isn't going to be here. But we really do appreciate the few people that buy products from us, and they buy a lot. It's kind of skewed. The people who support us do get a lot of stuff. And so we put things on a discount from time to time. We've got a lot of products, 30 to 80% off at InfoWarsStore.com. So take a look there. If there's something that you can use to help your health, help the health of your family, make you safer, for example, with the armor backpack insert. Then we would really appreciate it if you could do that. It'd be a win-win situation for all of us. All right, let's talk about Adrian Schoolcraft. This was a guy who noticed corruption in the New York Police Department, and so he started wearing a microphone for a very long time. And he was recording everything that his superiors were telling him because of the corruption. And they started punishing him because he didn't like to write tickets to give people fines. A good example of it is, you know, they've got the anti-smoking laws. They get very heavy penalties for that. So you'd have barbers who couldn't smoke in their barbershop. They would go outside, they'd stand on the sidewalk in front of their barbershop to smoke because they get a fine if they smoked inside the barbershop. So they do it right in front of their barbershop, and then they come along and give them a fine for loitering in front of their barbershop, that type of thing. And he continually refused to do that. And they said, no, you got a quota, you got to do this. And so he started recording so he could show that they were pushing people to do this, that they wanted quotas and so forth. I mean, this is the type of stuff that cost Eric Garner his life, because he was selling cigarettes one by one on the sidewalk, and eventually they killed him for that one day. Adrian Schoolcraft didn't like that, and he pushed back against it. So they told him, they said, all right, you're going to walk a beat then. You don't like that? You'll walk a beat. He said, good. His father had been a cop. He wanted to be a cop. He wanted to get to know the people in the community. He wanted to protect them. He was happy with that. He was really happy doing that. But they weren't happy with him doing that. And so he continued to complain about some of the policies of the New York Police Department that were oppressive. And one day, the police chief came with some officers to his apartment and started threatening him. And then they realized that he had this recording device on him. And that's when it got really bad. They took that, they confiscated that, destroyed that, and they told him, you're going to disappear right now. And they hauled him off to a mental institution. And his father didn't know where he was, couldn't find him. And what had happened was he had another one that he had put on the shelf. And that recorded everything. And when his father went to his apartment, his father, who was a police officer, went to his apartment and found that camera. He realized what had happened. And so when you look at police departments who, oh, and the other part of it is, if it was a real crime, like a rape or something, they would discourage people from reporting that. When they would go out there, they'd say, oh, no, you know, you don't want to get tied up in this. You don't realize how destructive this is going to be to your life to testify in a rape trial. So just say that you changed your mind, it was consensual sex, or say that it wasn't a stolen car, your cousin just borrowed it. That made them look good to the feds on their FBI statistics.
Making sense common again. It's your host, David Knight.
Well, we have President Trump blasted at home, blasted abroad for his plan to bring back the steel business here in America, putting on tariffs to protect the steel and aluminum businesses. And this is in an environment where we've had, again, the other headlines coming out. Manufacturing in the U.S. expands at the fastest pace since 2004. We've got jobs soaring. The employment rate is soaring. People are getting pay increases. They're getting bonuses that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats call crumbs, that Chuck Schumer has said the Republicans will rue the day that this happens. We have U.S. crude oil production has hit a record high. I did it back in November. They have a lag in the reporting times here. So all these things are good indicators if you want America to succeed, aren't they? And yet, the globalists who run Wall Street and other countries are very upset about this, very upset that we would put our economy first. And they're pushing back against this. And this is a winning issue. Remember when Bill Clinton ran, the slogan within his campaign was, "It's the economy, stupid. Don't get caught up in these side issues. Focus on the economy and how you can make that better, or how you have made it better." Now, the economy is the number two issue for Democrats and Republicans. The number one issue for Democrats is immigration. And I'm sorry, the number one, that's for Republicans, is immigration. 15% approximately of Republicans, that's their number one issue, about 9% for the Democrats on that issue. And those numbers are reversed, 15 and 9, when it comes to gun control. Democrats are fired up about gun control, and Republicans, to a lesser degree, are fired up about gun control on the other side of the issue. And so what are we doing? We're making it about those two issues because the economy is second for both of those. I don't think that's a good strategy. I think Trump needs to run on the wins that he has had. He needs to join forces with the Republicans in the GOP, House and Senate, and not throw them under the bus, not throw gun owners under the bus, because that's who we're talking about. We're not talking about the NRA. The NRA, as one of the GOP senators said, that's your constituents, Mr. President. The NRA is your, it's just the people in America. It's not some baby-killing organization as it's being portrayed by the Democrats. And when you say things like, "You're afraid of the NRA, aren't you? You're petrified of the NRA, aren't you?" to the congressman, then what you do is you're pouring gasoline on the fire of gun control, and you're energizing the Democrats against these people. They're not ever going to support President Trump. Never is going to happen. No matter how much he tries to pander to the open border crowd, to the DACA crowd, to the gun control crowd, they despise him so viscerally they will never support him on anything. All he's doing is dividing his base, throwing these principles as well as these people under the bus. He needs to focus on the economy. That needs to be the number one issue. And the other issue is immigration. That is what his base wants to see. And again, he's not doing anything with that immigration issue. What he needs to do is he needs to build the wall. He can do it under the defense aegis that he has there. He can also say that he's going to bring the troops to patrol the border. Any number of things like that could be done. But that's not happening. So we're going to take a look at what's going on. We've got the comments from the GOP. We've got comments from Tucker Carlson, from some senators here that we're going to be playing in the next break as our radio stations come back. As I said, the whole discussion here took place in problem-solving mode. Oh, we got to solve a problem. We may not know what the problem is, but we got to do something. I heard that back in the early 90s when the Democrats were saying, "We got to take over all health care. We got a problem. Got to do something." And so we better not make it worse. And they did when they tried to take it over with Obamacare. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
You know, I was just talking about Adrian Schoolcraft before we went to the top of the hour break. And as I said, he is a perfect example. This guy who was like Frank Serpico. Everybody knows Frank Serpico because of the movie with Al Pacino. But I tell you what, Adrian Schoolcraft's story is really amazing because he got it all on recordings. And what we learned was that you had a corrupt police department that was focused on collecting money and shaking down law-abiding citizens. Now, in the same way, you know, we wouldn't have any police departments like that outside of New York, would we? No. Also, what we have seen from Sheriff Benghazi there in Broward County, the guy who, no matter how many times you call him, he never comes. But he is there, Johnny, on the spot to play Miami Vice and to get a Lamborghini for himself and his people with the drug war and civil asset forfeiture. And I would imagine that in an apartment like that that's got as many charges, ethics charges against it, that they've got a pretty big focus on quotas and fines as well. And so that's what he saw in New York, and that's what he started recording, because he wanted to be a real police officer that's going to serve the community. He really took the motto of protect and serve. He took that seriously. And so what they did was they hauled him off and just put him in an insane institution, put him in a mental institute, because it's very easy to do that. And that's one of the things that really concerns me about all the talk that is coming out from the Republicans, even from the NRA, saying, oh, it's a mental health issue. Let's make it easier to take people's stuff. Let's make it easier to put people in mental institutions. That's what they did to Adrian Schoolcraft. And the other part of this was, as I was pointing out before we went to break, they would tell their police officers, you get those fines, but don't get us bogged down in rape and car theft and burglaries and robberies and muggings. We don't want to get bogged down in that. We don't make any money from that. And it makes us look bad to the feds because the FBI is collecting all these statistics. And, you know, when they're busy overthrowing the government, the FBI, you know, is going to be paying attention to our statistics. And we want to look good. We want to look like we're a safe city. So don't do anything about this stuff. And if people call us and go out there, you try to talk them out of any charges against any real crime. Which is exactly what Sheriff Benghazi was doing with the Promise Program. You know, we want to make all of our kids look good. We don't want to have a pipeline from school to prison. And so we're going to pretend that these crimes didn't exist. We're not going to report these crimes. All the same stuff. Go for the money. Don't do anything about crime. Oh, and if anybody gets in your way of a corrupt government, what do? You shuffle them off to a mental institution, because you got to be crazy to question a corrupt government. That's the story of Adrian Schoolcraft. And it happens. It just happened a few years ago in New York. And they nearly got away with it. If he hadn't had a backup camera recording it so his dad could get him out of the mental institution. But let's take a look at the comments of people after this meeting with President Trump. Let's hope that he got the message from people who had who stood up and said, we're not going to just give him a pass on this because it's President Trump. We support him on other things, but we're not going to support him if he's going to deal away our fundamental rights. You know, it's one of the reasons it says infringement. Most people are familiar with the metaphor of Monty Python, the Holy Grail. Most people have seen that. You know, the Black Knight who says, none shall pass. And he whacks off his arm and he keeps being belligerent. So you're not going to get out. Hacks off the other arm, then one leg, then the other leg. And he's still, you can't come back here. Well, that is essentially what our politicians have been doing to the Second Amendment. It's a gradual process of removing our arms by a gradual process of infringement. That's a clumsy metaphor, but it's what is happening. When they move their stuff onto your property, when they move the fence onto your property, and you let them leave it there for a long time, then they say, well, that's ours now. And we need to move those fences back, not let them move the fence even further in with more infringements. So as they ask in a Breitbart editorial here by Joel Pollack, why didn't the Republicans in that meeting stand up for the Second Amendment? Why didn't they do that? And he makes a very succinct statement here. He says the whole discussion took place in problem-solving mode, which is taken for granted that the government had to, quote-unquote, do something in response to the shooting, even though it was the government's failure to do something. Sheriff Benghazi, over and over, didn't do anything. He didn't do anything, had his deputy stand down as the shooting was taking place. It allowed the shooting to take place, allowed it to continue as long as it did after it had begun. And so you've got a lot of Republicans, as the Hill points out, are baffled and starting to distance themselves from Trump on gun control, even though they support him on other issues. I support him on other issues, but I'm not going to support him on this. I'm not going to make any excuses for him. I'm not going to cut him any slack. He should know better than to talk like this. Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, as they say in the Hill, a libertarian, one of the staunchest defenders of the gun rights in Congress, said, "I don't know how he came unmoored. President Trump can do more damage than President Obama did to the Second Amendment using his bully pulpit." That's exactly what I was saying. You got all these people saying, well, you know, it's not going to happen. And it isn't going to happen as long as Republicans have the majority. But he's throwing them under the bus as well. So he can virtue signal people as he kicks off his 2020 campaign. As if he's going to get any of these Democrats to vote for him. Ain't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. He better stand up for the Constitution and stand up for his base. But when he goes on and uses his bully pulpit to push gun control nonsense, that's when it gets really bad. Agreeing with the idea that we're going to infringe on rights. Trashing not only the Second Amendment, but the Sixth Amendment. The idea that somehow these are privileges and not rights, and that our fundamental rights, our property, is something for him to deal with for his political games. No. No. You can do all you want with your Game of Thrones in the White House. I don't really care about that. But don't start messing with my property, my rights. They're not yours to deal with. To bargain with. And so Massie says, President Trump can do more damage than President Obama did to the Second Amendment using the bully pulpit because Republicans instinctively rejected anything that Obama put forward. So on a lot of these issues, said Jim Jordan, on a lot of these issues where we believe there's an infringement on the Second Amendment liberties, we're going to oppose those. And of course, it isn't going to get through this Congress. We've already had Mitch McConnell say, we're going to take this off the agenda. We're going to move on to another topic. But if President Trump strengthens this issue and starts trashing the Second Amendment, starts trashing our rights, pretending that they're his to deal with, then we are going to be pouring fuel on the Democrats' campaign to light that thing on fire. And if that happens, they're going to impeach President Trump. That's the next thing that's going to happen. But first, we'll lose the Republican majority that will protect the Second Amendment and what we have left of our Bill of Rights. They said Trump has been eager to take action on gun control. That's right. Just like he's been eager to do something about the DACA recipients and to do the wrong thing. Massie said, I was surprised that he basically just incorporated the whole wish list of gun control into his proposed omnibus gun control bill. Massie, who heads the Congressional Second Amendment Caucus, called it Trump's most disappointing statement. And said he broadened the concern beyond the Second Amendment so they can take any piece of property without due process if due process is no longer a value that he believes in. Because that's the Sixth Amendment. And maybe he doesn't care about that either. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has announced the chamber will be moving to banking legislation next week rather than a background check bill. Because we now heard that Schumer says if you don't enact broad gun control measures, if you don't put in this omnibus bill with all the stuff that Dianne Feinstein and I and President Trump want, then we're going to block any improvement to the background checks. The background checks are not going to work if you don't have any data in your database because you're trying to curry favor with the feds and because you don't care about prosecuting crime because you just want people's stuff. You're going to steal it from them with civil asset forfeiture. You're going to take it from them with fines. That's what Sheriff Benghazi was doing. And if you don't fix that, might as well not even talk about anything to do with school security. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
Guns of anyone identified as a possible threat, even without a hearing.
I like taking the guns early. Take the guns first, go through due process second.
I love my president. I supported him. I still support him. But he and I are just going to have to disagree on this idea of due process.
Republicans are also cool to the president's call for universal background checks and for raising the age to buy a rifle, policies opposed by the NRA.
Some of you people are petrified of the NRA. You can't be petrified.
All right. And that's a clip, report there by ABC. And you heard the voice there saying, I can't go with the president as far as this due process effort. That was Congressman Kennedy who was saying that. Look, we can't throw away due process. And it gets me very concerned when we start talking about mental health. We don't talk about one of the core things that have been affecting this, and that is SSRIs. And so when we talk about what we're going to do, and everybody's concerned about what is going to be the process to identify dangerous individuals. Yes, we do have dangerous individuals. You know, one of the things that we could do, which evidently we're not even thinking about doing, is to take the tack that we did with cigarettes. You know, it used to be that you couldn't advertise drugs and say, you know, ask your doctor about this. Come on, you know, this stuff is great. And even though they put the disclaimer there, well, you know, it could lead to suicidal thoughts. It could cause you to kill yourself and kill everybody else in the school. These types of things. Still, ask your doctor about it. He'll know what to do. Same thing with painkillers and so forth. Now we've got an opioid epidemic. How about we stop advertising that stuff? They did the same thing with tobacco. You'd see the Marlboro man out there, and you, oh, yeah, I want to be a tough cowboy. I want to die of lung cancer like John Wayne. No. We don't want to push that image on people. Instead, let's educate people about the real effects of opioids, just like we educated people about tobacco. You know, we never did have tobacco prohibition, but we cut the use of tobacco significantly, didn't we? Yeah, we had prohibition about smoking in different places, and I don't agree with that on private property. But nevertheless, through education, we have been able to drastically reduce the use of tobacco. You're never going to get something completely eradicated. You'll always have a certain population of the certain percentage of the population that will engage in drugs like alcohol or other drugs. But prohibition gives you a lot of other problems. But what if instead of prohibiting opioids, because they're out there now, you're going to be able to get them, mail order them from China, whatever. What if we were to just tell people the truth about them? What if we started to have an education campaign? What if we treated it as a medical issue? What if we told people, don't necessarily trust the commercials that you see on Fox and CNN? What if we told Fox and CNN, sorry, you're going to have to find a way to advertise commercials that don't harm people, products that don't harm people? What if we were to do that? But instead, we're going down this road, and nobody wants to talk about that elephant in the room. And when we talk about mental institutions, when we talk about mental illness and committing people to these mental institutions, we better have due process for that. That really scares me. And so here's what Tucker Carlson had to say about the comments that were being made there. He said, imagine if Obama had said, take the guns first.
White House. At that meeting, he went after Republicans who want to defend the Second Amendment, suggesting they're puppets of the NRA. At one point, the president said the government should, quote, take the guns first, go through due process second. Now, I mean, how honest do you want to be? Imagine if Barack Obama had said that. Just ignore That's due right. process and start confiscating guns. Well, Obama would have been denounced as a dictator. We would have denounced him first, trust me. Congress would be talking impeachment right now. Someone would be muttering about secession. Well, the media agreed with what the president said yesterday, so they've underplayed it, or they presented it as just a little battle between the president and the NRA. But it's not about the NRA. It's not even about the president. It's about the Constitution, and the Constitution remains the same no matter who's in power. That's the point of the Constitution. The Second Amendment protects your rights to bear arms. It doesn't say that obliquely or metaphorically. It says it explicitly, and the Supreme Court several times has interpreted it that way, explicitly protecting your rights to bear arms. You can't lose that right or any other right, the right to worship freely, the right to say what you want without due process, period. Those rights are what make us citizens and not mere subjects of the powerful. And the president needs to be reminded of that. Maybe we all do once in a while. If voters wanted that kind of government, they could have voted Democrat. And actually, they still have the chance to vote Democrat in the midterms, which he should keep in mind. Congressman Sean Duffy is a Republican who represents the state of Wisconsin. Congressman Jody Arrington is a Republican representing the state of Texas, and they join us both tonight. Congressman Arrington, to you first. I mean, if we just be honest for a second, because I think it puts it in stark relief, how would you have responded if President Obama said, well, we'll just take the guns and then we'll deal with the due process question?
I think more than disconcerting would be an understatement. We're talking about our God-given fundamental right to protect ourselves, not just against
That's right.
people.
Let's cut it off there. Tucker is absolutely right. You know, what makes this so dangerous is that people are willing to give President Trump a pass when they would never do that. If Hillary Clinton had said that, if Barack Obama had said the things that President Trump said yesterday, we would rightfully be up in arms. And we should be up in arms about this as well. And when we look at the political strategy of this, I don't see how this is a win-win situation. Because we've got the issue that he's been doing really well on, and that he's been doing well with a Republican Congress on, is the economy. But that is the second issue. Actually, you could call it the third issue. But it is the second issue to both Republicans and to Democrats. The top issue for Republicans, as I said before, I said 15%. It's actually 17% say the top issue is immigration and border security. That's 9% for Democrats. That's a more important issue for Republicans. Do you know what Republicans want? They want the border protected. They want a wall. So use the Defense Department, use the NDAA. They stick everything in the world that's not related to defense in the NDAA. So put something that is related to the defense of America in there, the wall. Just take the funds out. I mean, you got the Pentagon, you know, $40 million to the State Department to do propaganda, but not a penny for our borders from the Defense Department. That's insane. You don't need a judge's permission to defend our borders. You don't. Stop pretending that you do. This is as bad as anything that Jeff Sessions has done. And yet it's the president who is pretending that he can't do anything because a judge somewhere, some lower court federal judge, said, oh, you can't do that. Can't do this, can't do that. You can't determine who's coming into the country. You can't do anything about the wall or this or that. We've got the Second Amendment is a top issue for Democrats. 17% of them are fired up about it, especially now. 17% compared to 9% for Republicans. So they just flipped those two issues. Now, the third issue is the economy. That's the one that you should be pumping up if you want to keep Congress Republican. And this is happening at the same time that 75% of the public disapproves of Congress. I've seen that as high as 91% disapprove of them. But with this and with people disapproving of Republicans in Congress more than Democrats in Congress, is it really smart to throw the Republicans under the bus and talk about how they're petrified of the NRA? No, I don't think it's going to work. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who just threw...
Covering the ongoing fight for the heart and soul of America. Broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Yeah, the fight for free speech is starting to look like the Alamo, isn't it? But remember, the battle was eventually won. They came for the cannons. They came for the cannons. That's that come and take it flag, you see. They came for the cannons of the next city. But eventually... they lost. And so we're going to be talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi. Gizmodo was very excited about the fact that YouTube has terminated his account, but now we understand that they have restored it. They are going to have to wait a little bit for their glee. Gizmodo was so excited about that. So yesterday he was riding high after being published in USA Today, writing a very good article, by the way. And saying, oh, they must not have realized that he worked for InfoWars because they would never let him publish an article there. And, of course, that's their metric of success, being recognized or published by the failing legacy media, like USA Today. But we now understand that he is now back there. So we're going to talk to him about the process, give you an update on that. But I just want to finish with this from the Gizmodo site. They were saying that Corsi will now have to content himself with his 100,000-plus followers on Twitter, a website notoriously bad at fighting harassment and misinformation. In other words, let's get that censorship at Twitter up better. Cheering on the censorship censorship by algorithm or by an army of people, in the case of YouTube, flagging people unjustifiably taking down channels. Only conservatives, by the way. But that's the pathetic state of the media now. Cheering censorship. Forget about the First Amendment. Let's cheer censorship. Before we go to Dr. Corsi, real quickly, this is a part of our Operation Paul Revere broadcast. We've had a 34-hour broadcast and began with our program yesterday morning. And so now we're a little bit beyond the 24-hour mark. We've got a few more hours coming here. And we've got a lot of specials at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program and everything that we do here. We have specials at InfoWarsStore.life that are 30 to 80% off many different products. Let me give you some of the products that are 50% off. Super Male and Super Female Vitality, The Real Red Pill, Biome Defense, True Whey, Probiotic Fiber. Take a look at those products. We explain what's in them. They're natural ingredients. These are things that are going to support your health, support your immune system, support your gut health with probiotics. And they're deeply discounted right now as part of this Paul Revere mega special. We also have some apparel that is 80% off, even things like an armor backpack, the Aegis Armor Backpack Insert, 20% off. Purely defensive way to defend yourself if you're in a gun-free zone where they're going to harass or arrest you if you try to defend yourself. Well, all you can do is hide behind something that's going to stop a bullet. And you know, Dianne Feinstein was wrong about pistols. It isn't like getting stabbed with a bullet. No, they actually kill people as well. So if you're in a gun-free zone where only the criminals are allowed to do it, we should call them defenseless zones. Maybe you can defend yourself, and you can defend yourself if you've got an armor backpack insert. I was called out by the mainstream media for talking about that in the wake of shooting at an airport. So, well, you know, look at this guy. Took all these flights, went from Alaska to Florida. And before he took the flight, he went into an office and said, I got these heads, these voices in my head, and they're telling me to go shoot something up. I think it's the government is putting voices in my head or whatever. He was allowed to take his gun from Alaska to Florida and then start shooting people up. So I said, well, you know, they're not going to let you have a gun, but maybe you can put an armor backpack insert into your backpack. And they criticized me for that. Look at that. He's trying to profit off it. No, I'm trying to tell people how to survive. And we've got products here that will help you to survive, you and your family and your health, and it will help InfoWars to survive as well. So let's go to Dr. Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi, our Washington correspondent. Welcome, Dr. Corsi.
Great to be with you, David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And tell us what the current status of your YouTube account is now. It's going up and down and up and down.
Well, yesterday late on Thursday, I got notice that YouTube, I guess it blinked. They've changed their mind and they were going to restore my channel on YouTube. And then by this morning when I got up and recognized that it was back and that in fact, I'd had a message from the YouTube team saying they would help me restore the channel. Evidently, they backed down. They just decided that they were wrong, and you know, they couldn't justify terminating my channel, accusing me of harassment and bullying, which I never do. I mean, that's not I'm not. They couldn't prove I had done it. Yeah. And the point is that. You know, it was completely arbitrary. The whole thing was completely arbitrary. You had Southern Poverty Law Center in there. It's an obvious attempt to censor us. I mean, I pounded Eric Schmidt over on Twitter. I moved my account over to Gab. And I'm going to stay. Gab is going to be now a primary place for me to put videos. I mean, YouTube did this once. They can do it again. I mean, how can you trust Eric Schmidt and Google after this? And they're, you know, completely biased. They are in the bag. They were for Hillary Clinton. I think Eric Schmidt is very concerned about this executive order President Trump signed on December 21st, confiscating the assets of anybody who is involved in human rights trafficking or corruption. The next day or that day, he resigned from Alphabet. That wasn't coincidental. Are the things I think that you can't trust a group who's going to terminate you, and then only there after there's a huge public outcry. And they get enormous pushback. They're afraid they're going to. It's time to put an Internet Bill of Rights into place. We got to have First Amendment rights on the Internet. We can't have these giants like Google and Facebook and the others operate to eliminate conservative speech and libertarians especially not before the 2018 election, which is, I'm confident, what Google and Eric Schmidt wanted to accomplish.
Oh, absolutely. And they're doing the work, as you point out. They are allied with people on the political left who don't want to have a free marketplace of ideas. And then they say, well, the government's not actually doing it. YouTube is doing it. It's a private site. They can do it. And then YouTube pushes it one more level out. They're saying, and again, this is from Gizmodo that was celebrating the fact that they thought that this was just preliminary censorship to take down your channel, that Alex's channel, main channel, would be the next one, and then taunting Twitter and saying, you know, you're notoriously bad at fighting harassment. It's a snowflake attitude. Oh, I'm being harassed. Just shut them down. I don't want to have any discussion. But then they come out, same publication, Gizmodo, says YouTube's new moderation team stumbles out of the gate. Oh, mistakes were made. So it's not the government trying to censor people, the political left, the deep state. No, it's YouTube. And it's not even YouTube. It's those people that are new that they hired. They didn't really mean to do any of this stuff.
Well, I think we don't need any clearer demonstration than this recent YouTube, Google, trying to censor me off of YouTube, canceling the account. No recourse, the appeal is meaningless. There's nobody at Google to talk to. You can't find any telephone numbers. Nobody's accountable. It's all these nameless minions running around. And then they also canceled my Gmail account. So, I mean, I guess they're all linked. And you go back to the fact that Google was funded and started by the CIA, and I think the whole group is penetrated by spooks. Like, every click you make is reported instantly to the NSA and to the CIA. I'm confident that Eric Schmidt is a spook and in the bag for them, has been forever. He was in the bag for Hillary Clinton. He put millions of dollars into Hillary Clinton. He gave all of our Google data to Hillary for her voting data. He didn't give it equally to Trump. I mean, the bias and the intolerance of the left. Left is uninterested in the First Amendment. They're uninterested in the Second Amendment. They're uninterested in the Fourth Amendment, especially as they apply to conservatives. They're not interested in any of the fundamental principles of the Republic or our basic freedoms. They don't want debate. They want gulags. They're basically a communist, cultural revolution seeking for thought reform.
That's right. And they don't want any discussion of real issues. Again, you were published by USA Today talking about, let's allow teachers to exercise their rights to protect themselves and other people. Oh, got to shut that guy down. Can't have that kind of discussion. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Jerome Corsi. I'm David Knight. And we're talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for InfoWars. And of course, as we look at these news outlets, we had Gizmodo taunting him. Oh, look, he's gone. Oh, he was doing great. Just yesterday, he was published on USA Today, and now he's gone. You'll just have to find him on Twitter, which is notorious for not kicking off people who are harassing people. Well, I tell you what, I've never seen more disgusting harassment than I have on YouTube in terms of comments. Twitter does a better job of that. But there is, even though Twitter does control things and Facebook controls things, they've algorithmically taken down President Trump's engagement with their new algorithm. They've dropped it by 45%, even though President Trump is still tweeting out the same amount in that same period of time, took it down very quickly. It is censorship by algorithm. It is censorship by an army of Southern Poverty Law Center social justice warriors and snowflakes who make the accusation, I'm being harassed. Help, help, I'm being harassed. Shut them down. And then taunting even USA Today, as Splinter News says, USA Today publishes InfoWars conspiracy nut without even realizing it, shaming them, right? And that was a very well-written piece, Dr. Corsi, that you had at USA Today. Very well-written, very well-reasoned. And I would say kudos to USA Today for putting out a piece which obviously they don't agree with, but having an open discussion there, a well-reasoned discussion. But these people, like Gizmodo and this little outlet I've never heard of before, Splinter News, they want to criticize anybody that would have free speech and tell them, you better start censoring this. We don't want to have any rational discussion of solutions that could help kids in school. No, not going to do that. We've got an agenda to push, and anybody that doesn't sign up to that agenda, we're going to accuse them of harassment and bullying and censor them, shut them down.
Well, David, this is exactly what the deep state does. It's a concerted effort to minimize, marginalize anybody who doesn't agree with their narrative. If you're not on board with a hard left Hillary Clinton identity politics, you know, willing to say hate politics in the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the greatest hate organizations in America, you know, if you don't align with them, well, then you're a conspiracy theorist nutcase. I also want to thank you, David. I want to thank the entire crew that have participated in this Operation Paul Revere. I think what it attests to, again, is the impact that InfoWars has reaching directly to the American people. It's the same impact that, you know, if we had not had this 34 hours, we had not really gone all out to get this in front of the American people, I don't know that we would have had the reversal. I mean, it was clearly the pressure. It was clearly the, you know, millions of people who now get to see the full extent of, you know, Facebook, Google, all these giants, YouTube, censorship. This is really, this is the core of the issue, and it's why InfoWars.com continues to thrive.
And, you know, when we look at what they're doing, you're talking about how they monitor and follow people. It's just been put out that Facebook is putting out viruses to follow people that don't even sign up to Facebook to monitor them. This is what is really creepy about the internet, and it's why things like radio stations are very important to us as well. We got to have a full spectrum of communication stuff out there. I mean, people listening on the radio, they don't know that people are listening on the radio. They don't have any way to follow and trace those people back like they do on the internet. And unlike the internet, you know, we put stuff up, we store it there, but they can just flush it all down the memory hole like they almost did with you yesterday. And I guess you still got two strikes against you at YouTube, right? They could pull
they removed all of it. They took everything off. There's no strikes at all. I mean, they erased the whole thing. I mean, but it's not done yet. I mean, I had to restore my Gmail account. And by the way, I'm going to war with them today. Now Eric Schmidt wants to delay the earnings. You got to wait a month while they money launder your earnings. You can't get my February earnings. They send it to another company, this AdSense, and then they keep the float. I mean, if Eric Schmidt's really that hard up, if he's on hard times, I'd be happy to make him a loan. I can loan them a few dollars if it'll get them through a hard time, but otherwise,
well, they are ridiculously wealthy. I guess it's because they do stuff like that, you know.
And they're also a ridiculous control over broadband. And if they're going to be the censors, and if they're going to do this Southern Poverty Law Center nonsense, we're going to pound them continuously. Look, if Eric Schmidt wants to be a punk on this and wants to fight it out, I'll duke it out with him anywhere he wants. How about U.S. District Court? That's not good enough. Let's duke it out at the FCC. Let's duke it out at the FTC. Eric Schmidt thinks he can bowl this game by having a big, powerful Facebook, and then he can decide, he's God to decide what free speech is allowed and not free speech. Eric Schmidt, you got another thing coming. I don't think you deserve the broad bait. I want an Internet Bill of Rights, and I think this brings it to the American people, and we're going to push it now. And Eric Schmidt, you want to be a spook. You want to continue working for the CIA. You want to send every click we make to the NSA. I'm going to broadcast that loud and wide to the American people. They want to call me
Well, you know, as we look at this, Dr. Corsi, it's not just our ability to communicate. It's also, you know, they're shutting down our ability to communicate and to oppose their attempt to shut down our ability to shoot. And at the same time, you've got Google and these other people who are pushing our controls over our ability to move around with smart cities, with self-driving cars and so forth. They want complete control of everything that we do. These people in Silicon Valley, these globalist elitists, they have absolutely no respect for any of our rights. They don't want us to own anything. They want us to be renters. They want to control and know everything that we do. And this is what is really creepy about this, is how power is being concentrated in the hands of just a few people. They talk about the 1% of the 1% getting much, much wealthier. Well, it's that control that I'm concerned about, because that's what's allowing them to accumulate so much money. But it's also going to allow them to communicate, to control the way that we communicate, the way that we defend ourselves, and even the way that we can move around, or whether or not we can move around.
Well, David, you're exactly right. I mean, rather than being happy the account was restored, I'm still angry that these, you know, unspecified people, for unspecified reasons at YouTube, had dared call me, you know, a liberal, these liberals calling me a leftist nutcase that I was harassing and bullying. Now, that's on the record. That'll never be forgotten by all the people of WikiLeaks and everywhere else, and Wikipedia and all the other wiki out there that want to trash us because we're conservatives.
Defamation.
I'm angry about this. Defamation. I mean, this is, you know, this is fundamental defamation. And this kind of defamation extends into to censorship. And I don't know where, I don't know who appointed Eric Schmidt, by the way, 1221 Eric Schmidt. Take a look at that executive order. I want to examine what role you played in Fusion GPS. I'm not about to let you off of the hook for crowdsource, which you put $100 million into, and lied about the Russians being the ones who hacked the DNC. I want to know why you advanced that lie. How much money did it cost you? Why did you launder the money, your money that went through Perkins Coie? Let's have some real discussion on these, because there could be criminal offenses in here, Eric, and if there are, I don't intend to let up.
Yeah, we've seen this happening, and we started reporting on this when they announced that they were going to get these groups, and they were going to have them vetting people. They were going to make it more civil and so forth. And now Twitter is saying the same thing. What does a healthy Twitter look like? The CEO says, it's a very toxic environment. Please help me with my censorship. And you got all these different media outlets out there applauding censorship, trying to shame USA Today if they put an op-ed piece in there by you on a position on gun control that they don't agree with. You know, you advocate for arming teachers and allowing people to exercise their self-defense, which is something that the establishment press doesn't agree with. But at least they put you in there. So then they try to shame them into censoring you. That's what we're seeing going on throughout this this move.
And I doubt that Eric Schmidt and his minions at Google, you know, maybe CIA on campus, have ever read John Stuart Mill on free speech. I mean, the whole purpose of this thing was that free speech, the First Amendment, derived from the fact that the speech you got to tolerate, that you must tolerate the most, is the speech you like to hear the least.
That's right.
Now, that principle is, of course, a little opposed to the communism. And if, you know, Google's whole campus is a little bit far left than Karl Marx, I guess they don't appreciate it. They'd rather march us off to thought reform camps.
But what it is. It is a Marxist technique to censor anybody that you don't agree with, and then to send them to a mental institution. That's why it concerns me so much when I hear this talk about, oh, it's a mental health problem and we don't want any due process. I mean, that is, we're seeing classic Marxist tactics that are being applied, and you're talking about them defaming you. I mean, they did the same thing, the Family Research Council. We had the same people. Southern Poverty Law Center said they're a hate group because they support traditional marriage defined as one man, one woman, and because of that, you talk about defamation and ruining your reputation. Because of that, the Family Research Council was attacked by a man with a gun who was listening to the Southern Poverty Law Center. He wanted to kill those hateful people there. That's the result of that speech. Very different from, I disagree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. No, they want to send somebody to kill you if they can't shut you down. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Jerome Corsi. And again, he's going to continue to fight, and so are we. That's why we have Operation Paul Revere 2018. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
We were just talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi, and he was talking about Eric Schmidt and Google and how they are engaged in a process of trying to flush any conservative commentary down the memory hole. Say, oh, we just made some mistakes. Well, we knew where this was headed. We reported when they were bringing Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups online, as well as Facebook, to say, we're going to vet people, and we're only going to have real news out there. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, who's going to decide what's real news? the people like the Southern Poverty Law Center. And when we talk about Eric Schmidt, he was just at a conference, the Munich Security Conference, February 16th through 18th. And he said this. He said, everyone immediately when they want to talk about the movie-inspired death scenarios about artificial intelligence, and Eric Schmidt said, I can confidently predict to you that they are one or two decades away. So let's worry about them, but let's not worry about them for a while. Let's not worry about it until the threat is on your doorstep or shooting at you. Yeah, you better worry about it now if it's that close away. And of course, that's what Ray Kurzweil, who now works for Google, because anybody that has any promising technology or research in the field of artificial intelligence or analyzing, controlling human behavior, monitoring, storing human behavior, manipulating human behavior by manipulating the brain, anybody that has a company like that or has any research like that is immediately purchased by Google. You know, all those creepy things that you see at Boston Dynamics, they bought them. It was part of a DARPA research project. But of course, don't worry. They're just going to be helping little old ladies cross the street, these robots, right? Yeah. We're going to have robot cops that help people cross the street. He says, the other point I want to remind everyone, says Eric Schmidt, is these technologies, AI, have serious errors in them. And they should not be used with life-critical decisions. So I would not want to be in an airplane where the computer was making all the general intelligence decisions about flying it. The technology is just not reliable enough. There are too many errors in its use. It is advisory. It makes you smarter and so forth. But I wouldn't put it in charge of command and control. Well, then what about the autonomous killer robots that you're working on with DARPA? What about the autopilot cars that are out there? See, Google doesn't want to have a system where you even have a steering wheel or a brake pedal in your car. So there's two different approaches to this. Some people say, well, we want to have that there as a backup. And then the people like Google come along and say, well, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be sitting there watching movies or on Facebook or Twitter, and you're not going to realize something happens. And when the computer says, hey, I can't handle this. I don't know what's going on. You take the controls. You're not going to be able to do something quickly enough. And the reason for that is like Eric Peters has pointed out in his essays. You can find him at ericpetersauto.com. He's been a frequent guest. He was pointing out, you know, when you talk about autopilot and you talk about planes have autopilot, but they have real pilots and they have real controls and they have more time to react to things because they have a great deal of distance between planes. I mean, if they get within, I don't know what it is, thousands of feet of each other, everybody freaks out because it's a near miss. The planes, they have big gaps between the times that the planes take off. They have a massive amount of buffer space between them in every direction, above, below, in front, behind, to both sides. They have a massive buffer. But when you're in traffic, and you're going to be in one of these cars that's run by Google that doesn't have any way for you to take over the controls, it's going to be like you're flying in close formation with the Blue Angels, except there's no controls and no way for you to take it over. And yet Eric Smith says, Schmidt says, don't worry about this. Yeah, we'll make these decisions for you. We're not going to take over everything in your car. And they're doing it. And he says, we're not going to take over in a Terminator scenario, but they're working on that too. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about Oscars because that's coming up this weekend. We're also going to talk about New York slouching towards Sharia. I began talking about that yesterday. I didn't have time before my guest came on because there's a lot to talk about with that. So I wanted to get back to that. A couple of news items before we get into those topics. We have a Reportedly, two people shot at Central Michigan University. The gunman, they said, is armed and dangerous. It doesn't say anybody was killed. They don't know where he is. They say the suspect is a 19-year-old black male, approximately 5'9" tall. So it sounds like he knew somebody that was there. And this is the sort of thing that if it happens on a university campus, then it is national news. And this feeds the narrative that there's somehow a rash of shootings on university and college campuses. Anytime any gun is discharged, it's treated as if it were some kind of a mass murder, suicide event. And it isn't always the case. It is easier to shoot people in gun-free zones, like universities, like Chicago, like the District of Columbia, like they shot the congressman there, or places like Baltimore, Maryland. It is easier to do that in places that are gun-free, where they take away the guns from law-abiding citizens. It's easier to get away with doing something like that. You know, we had one of the CEOs of CEO of the gun maker that produced Florida shooter's weapon. I share the nation's grief. This is James Debney, British-born chief executive of the company, American Outdoor Brands, and he is concerned about this. They say it used to be Smith & Wesson. But have you ever heard any vehicle manufacturer apologize to people because somebody used their truck or their car to deliberately run down people on the road? Did you ever hear about that? Yeah. Did you ever see the CEO of Ford or GM in tears about this? Oh, please forgive me. Why is it that we treat this? It's all part of an agenda. We also had in Las Vegas elementary school yesterday, another incident. Oh, it was with an axe. It's a crazy woman who went to a Las Vegas elementary school with an axe. Maybe we need background checks for people to buy axes. Maybe we need to have a waiting period before you get an axe. Did she buy her axe at Walmart or at Dick's Sporting Goods? Did the axe manufacturer apologize for this? Maybe she got some big pharma drugs. Did they apologize for this? Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. She stormed into an elementary school with an axe and she threatened to murder everyone. Now, she didn't harm anybody. She didn't do any damage to the school. And so you're going to have the libs say, well, see, if she'd had a gun, she could have done some damage. I had the lady on who runs the site SSRIstories.net. And you need to go there and take a look at all the different incidences that have involved SSRIs. Many of them did not involve guns, and many times there were people who were killed. Many times there were people who had guns and went into a school and kept people hostage like she did for a while. Did that with a gun, and then didn't harm anybody. But the factor that was central in all of this were the big pharmaceutical drugs, the SSRIs, that are being prescribed by the AMA and the psychiatry people like candy to everyone. And we can't talk about that. They found her on top of a fence when they arrived. She was screaming and yelling. She was going to kill everybody. The responding officer ordered her to come down from the fence. She complied. The officer took her into custody. And so the liberals will say, oh, she would have killed everybody with a gun. Yeah, one of the stories that we talked at in length, when we talked to the lady with that site, SSRIstories.net, really go to that site and take a look at it. One of the stories, a young man, they changed his meds, which typically is the thing that really triggers it. And he took a rifle to school. He held the classroom hostage. He would alternately point the gun at them and put it under his chin, point the gun at them, put it under his chin. And eventually they got it away from him, and he had absolutely no recollection of that. It's like he was sleepwalking. No recollection of it whatsoever. One other piece of news here that I think is interesting. We have a conservative GOP faction in Utah is affirming a rule that could disqualify Mitt Romney's Senate campaign. Well, that's kind of interesting. A group of conservative Republicans in Utah, reports Breitbart, has moved to head off former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney's attempt to run for the U.S. Senate. You know, he was living in Massachusetts until he decided there'd be more of an interest to go to Utah, because in Massachusetts he can't get elected as dog catcher anymore after serving as governor there. Powerful conservative members of Utah's Republican Party's Central Committee passed a measure reaffirming a state rule that excludes signature gathering to gain access to the ballot. And Mitt Romney says, no, he's going to go ahead and do that instead of, I guess, seeking the nomination of the party. Conservatives have triggered a power struggle within the party, pitting a large number of conservatives against the more moderate party chairman, Rob Anderson, who is a Romney supporter. Currently, the party rule requires the candidates go through the party's caucus and convention system instead of relying solely on gathering petition signatures. Romney intends to pass the petitions and to bypass having to appeal to party members for his spot on the Republican ticket. If the rule sticks, he risks losing his membership in the Utah Republican Party and may not be able to run for the Senate while claiming to be a Republican. So I guess maybe he decides that since he is so liberal, that he will run as an independent instead of a Republican. So he's going to go the signature route rather than getting the nomination in the convention because he thinks maybe he can't make that there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And that, finally, one of the bright spots to come out of Washington, out of the Trump administration last few weeks, was this reform on food stamps. And it is a situation where we have massive fraud in the food stamp bureaucracy. And it's not just coming from individuals who might sell this, take their food stamps and sell them and at half their face value for cash. It's also being participated in by a lot of retailers who are doing this. It's not, in other words, not necessarily just a street black market, but retailers who are involved in this. U.S. Department of Agriculture has published a report estimating that 35,891, that's a pretty accurate estimate, 35,891 food retailers around the country engaged in food stamp fraud, illegally trafficking more than $1 billion in Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, also called SNAP. And I guess we should be snapping about that, right? That kind of fraud. $1 billion in fraud. And that's one of the reasons why President Trump says we're going to take half of that. Let's take half of that money that we give to people in this currency called food stamps. Let's just give them the food. How about that? You know, some people do that with homeless people. There's a report that's circulating around, people very upset about a man who picked up a homeless man, took him to McDonald's to give him a meal, and then the McDonald's manager called the cops, and the cops threw him out, and he filmed the whole thing and put it up on social media. But that's a reasonable thing to do to try to help somebody. Take them in and give them some food, instead of just handing them cash because you're afraid that they're going to buy drugs or alcohol or other things that are going to harm them. You just give them the food. And that's what this reform of the fraud is about. But of course, this is something 36,000 different retailers involved in $1 billion worth of fraud, according to the report. But you know, the way the UN runs this, when they go in and help somebody like women in Syria, you know, that war that we have started for regime change so that we can get our pipeline through there. And so the Russian pipeline, the gas pipeline to Europe, that war that we're killing people for gas pipeline superiority there. They have the UN going in there saying, we will help. We'll help people. So now they have women in Syria reportedly being forced. This is being reported by antimedia.org, forced into having sex in return for food. And this is coming from the UN. This is something we see repeatedly from the UN, from the UN peacekeepers and so forth. So it isn't food stamp fraud in the bureaucracy like we're seeing here. No, it's like sex for food is what you're getting from UN. That's the way they operate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Sharia law. We're going to talk more about these robots. Where is this headed? China is the example, quite frankly, talking about a digital dictatorship. Well, this week, it's the Oscars. And what are we going to see there? We've got a street artist out there with a sign that says the Oscar for biggest pedophile goes to dot, dot, dot. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what they do. Certainly, I'm not going to watch it. I didn't watch the Oscars even when I was trying to make buying decisions for movies. It's just a pageant type of thing that I don't really care for. And it didn't have really anything to do with quality of films. It had to do with who was liked. I remember Sally Field saying, "You like me, you really like me." It's a popularity contest. It isn't about the quality of a film. Now, they can use an Oscar nomination or they can use an Oscar win to push a movie that's pretty much been ignored at the box office because it didn't get a lot of publicity or PR from the studio. So they can do that type of thing. It can mean things in terms of economics for these people, but it doesn't have anything. And quite frankly, aren't we all pretty disgusted of these people? Take a look at the casting couch statue, or what is it? I guess it's not a statue. It's not really made out of, it's a piece of artwork. They have a Harvey Weinstein in a bathrobe sitting on a couch with his arm out, like, "Come sit beside me. Come on." You know, because he's notorious for wearing his bathrobe. But he does have a pair of pants on, I think, in this particular one, unlike the real Harvey Weinstein. Robe, slippers, and a pair of pants in this particular one. That is being put right next to the venue where they're going to be having the Oscars. And Harvey Weinstein really has, you know, it really is Harveywood, isn't it? Remember when all this stuff started coming out and we played that clip of Meryl Streep winning an award? And here's what she had to say.
See them. So I just want to thank my agent, Kevin Uvane, and God, Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God. God of Hollywood. And there's the golden idol, Harvey Weinstein, sitting in his robe on the casting couch right down the way. That's their golden idol god, Meryl Streep and the rest of these people. And, of course, it's going to be very awkward for Oprah Winfrey if she decides to run for president. You know, she says she's going to wait to see if God will tell her to run. So, you know, look at these pictures of her as she's snuggling up to Harvey Weinstein over the years. Maybe God will whisper into her ear. Harvey Weinstein will whisper into her ear and tell her what to do. And yeah, these comments about, well, will God tell me to run? Of course, I pointed this out 2 weeks ago when you had Joy and Whoopi dump all kinds of grief on Vice President Pence because he said that he listened to God. And they said, no, he must be insane. And now they've had tens of thousands of calls to ABC, which they don't really care about. They don't really care about the bigotry, the anti-Christian bigotry of Joy and Whoopi. They're so happy about Hollywood and about Oprah, but they're very, very upset and angry about any Christians who say that they listen to God. But it's okay for Oprah to listen to her God, Harvey Weinstein, or whatever New Age imagination of God she has. You know, as long as it's not Christianity that's being sold by Oprah Winfrey or Joy or Whoopi, then it's great. And we can celebrate any form of religion except for Christianity. That's the real deal. But, you know, when she gets her word from God, and if Harvey tells her to run for president, maybe she should listen to General Kelly, because he's not so sure that he's not being punished by God for being in the White House. Here's that report.
I would just open by saying I have almost no right to be up here on this stage. I mean, I was in the department.
You have every right to be
here. And I miss every one of you every day. I went... truly, at 6 months, the last thing I wanted to do was walk away from one of the great honors of my life, being the Secretary of Homeland Security. But I did something wrong, and God punished me, I guess.
So there you go. He did something wrong, and God is punishing him. That's why he's at the White House, the White House Chief of Staff. Well, he may not be there that much longer. Maybe he will be getting out of purgatory pretty soon. But that's the way he portrays it, as he's being punished by God by being in the White House. He loved being Director of Homeland Security, where he didn't enforce the borders. He continued deferred action for childhood arrivals, the same policy that his predecessor put in. Janet Napolitano put that in with a memo And we are not allowed to do anything about that because that is more important and more untouchable, by the way, than the Second Amendment or the Sixth Amendment. I mean, we can get away, do away with due process. We can do away with your God-given rights to own a gun and defend yourself, but we cannot do away with DACA. That's there. That is a hardcore principle now. It is more sacrosanct than anything in the Bill of Rights, anything in the Constitution, and it was just put in there by a memo. It wasn't even an executive order. And General Kelly, as much as he enjoyed Homeland Security running that organization, which was in charge of defending the borders, he didn't really defend the borders. Not the way he should be defending the borders. All right, let's talk some more about the other religion, Islam. As I pointed out the other day, we had New York City paying out $180,000 to three women who were forced to remove their hijabs for mugshots. These are women who were arrested for one thing or the other, violence, fighting, and so forth. And they said, oh, you took a picture of me without my hijab, so pay up. And they're very happy about this settlement where New York City bowed down to Sharia law. So this is a great first step. Yeah, they're not finished yet. They're going to do more about this. And as I pointed out, in Muslim countries, what they're doing is women who take off their hijab because they don't want it on are getting charged for inciting prostitution and inciting corruption and prostitution. So you take off your hijab in Iran and you're charged with inciting corruption and prostitution. And these women will be facing up to 10 years if they're found guilty by this kangaroo Sharia court. You want to see that come to America as these people pander to Islam? In Indonesia, Christians flogged, as I pointed out yesterday, flogged because they were gambling. So it's very rare for non-Muslims to be punished under Sharia law, but it happens. You think it's really rare? I don't think it's rare. This was in Sumatra. They whipped them at least six times. They were whipped by a man wearing a robe, not Harvey Weinstein, and a mask and wielding a rattan cane. Hundreds of onlookers jeered them as the punishment was carried out on a stage next to a mosque. So you don't follow their Sharia law. That's the punishment you get. And they say, this is really one of the more advanced areas of Islam because they've got big corporations there. But then they say hardline Islamic groups have been using the country's democratic system to promote an Islamic agenda. You know, kind of like they do in New York. Exactly what they do in New York. When we come back, I've got more news about this and about how they continue to mock Christianity. A new sitcom coming out specifically to mock Christianity by CBS. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
And now, live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
So three Islamic women who had their mugshots taken after they were arrested or were exposed because they were fighting and their hijab got taken off, got $180,000 that they extorted out of the city of New York as they slouch toward Sharia law. But it's not just the police. And it is much bigger than that. It is not just New York either. We have the Democrat National Committee, the deputy chairman there, of course, Keith Ellison of Minnesota, the first, I guess maybe he's the first Islamic congressman we've had, but he certainly is the first person who refused to take the oath of office by putting his hand on the Bible. He demanded that he use the Quran. And of course, he's now a keynote speaker at the annual fundraiser for the New York chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, a Washington-based front for Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, reports Conservative Review. And he had this to say. He said, we're going to support litigation, you know, like an advocacy for those who face discrimination, harassment, or hate crimes, like having to have your hijab removed when you get a mugshot after you commit a crime. That's exactly what we're going to see. And when we look at what's happening in France, same type of tactics. We got Macron vowing to reform Islam in France. It's time to bring in a new generation. He has declared an effort to fight fundamentalism, to preserve national cohesion. He has promised to lay the groundwork for an entire reorganization of Islam in France. This is being reported by the Gatestone Institute on Zero Hedge. And his objective is to make sure that French law takes precedent over Islamic law for Muslims. Because, see, there's a question about that, isn't there? They don't want that. They don't want French law. They want their law. And they're going to rule by their law in the areas that they control because they're there in massive numbers. This is why borders must be controlled. But, of course, people like Macron want them there. He says, all right, we're going to, don't worry, French people. As you have the rise of the populist parties in France who are sick and tired of this, who are waking up to what's going on, goes, don't worry. We're going to make sure that we make them more secular. He says, we're working on the structuring of Islam in France and how to explain it. How do I explain this to the French people that we're going to take away their country, that we're creating a divide and conquer, a Balkanization? Cultural Balkanization, a linguistic Balkanization, people who do not want to be a part of the French country culture or the French government or French law. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want to be French. They just want France. That's what we have to look at, what the purpose of these open borders and the mass migration of people. You know, we have refugees that they've created with wars and many that they have just created by labeling them as refugees, but it's about equivalent to the entire population of the United States. It's over 300 million people, this floating population of refugees that they can move around so that they can create a division across the world. So he says, we're working on restructuring Islam in France and how to explain it. My goal is to rediscover what lies at the heart of secularism, the possibility of being able to believe as well as to not believe. Well, I don't know that that is really the heart of secularism. Not in the United States, anyway. As we've moved towards human secularism, they will embrace everything but Christianity. Christianity must be purged everywhere. So secularism isn't really the basis of tolerance. That's really been coming out of our the values that were there as part of the American Revolution, which is based on Christian values. When I was talking about the Declaration of Independence, when I was talking about the Bill of Rights, that's where we see tolerance. I don't see anything like that in Islam. I don't see anything like that in their culture or in their religion. Why would you hope that that would be there? And it's not part of the Marxist globalist control crowd that is reinterpreting our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and telling us, no, we have to have a separation of church and state, which means that we have to subjugate the church to the state and that the state will purge any free expression of religion from being put out in public places and so forth. He says, so we have to do this in order to preserve national cohesion and the possibility of having free religious conscience. Yeah, just the possibility of that. Well, good luck with that, because France is also the same guy. As he's telling us, he's going to reform Islam. We're going to get it there where it's actually going to be tolerant of other people. Show me an example where that's actually happening. But as he's doing that, he's looking at a tax so that he can subsidize mosques. This is the real globalist agenda of people like Macron. All the rest of this stuff that he and people like Angela Merkel put out is just a smokescreen, trying to deceive people who see what is really happening, who are waking up to what is really happening. And while they do all this stuff, and while they celebrate Islam, we have CBS has now got a new sitcom that is going to mock Christianity. It's called Living Biblically. And this was it's going to be a sitcom that's based on a mocking documentary. I guess we could call it a mockumentary. It was done by a guy who said, I'm going to go through all these laws and Levitical laws out of the Old Testament, and I'm not going to eat shellfish or whatever, or pork. And I'm going to see just how easy it is to, or how hard it is to live biblically. So he did that. So this is now going to be a sitcom. It's going to be a cartoon straw man criticism, mocking of Judeo-Christian beliefs. I wonder how it would be taken if CBS did the same thing with Islam. Do you think the Muslims could take a joke about this? You know, Christians can take a joke. Can the Muslims do that? It's the same thing they've done with Handmaid's Tale. They come up with this dystopian idea that you've got some kind of a, a Christian patriarchy that's taken over America. And look, they make women wear funny clothes, except even the clothing that they imagine in The Handmaid's Tale isn't nearly as oppressive as the hijabs that the Muslims force on women now in reality. But don't talk about what's really happening under Sharia law. No, we're going to come up with some kind of a straw man of what we think is really going to happen with Christianity and white men in America. That's the thing that we got to be concerned about. And that's the reason why yesterday, as I pointed out, that cult, the Moonies, having these mass wedding ceremonies, and if that wasn't strange enough, and their clothing wasn't strange enough, and their crowns that they were wearing wasn't strange enough, they show up with AR-15s, and everybody is focusing on that, because that's a great way to put up a straw man argument to say, all these people clinging to their guns, look at how crazy they are. So they put the Moonies out there as some kind of a straw man representation of the bitter clingers clinging to their guns and Bibles. See, that's the way they use imagery. And that's the way they control people and lie to people. Meanwhile, we got Facebook coming on and saying, they've had claims that Facebook has been censoring anybody that puts up a Bible verse out of Levitical law that criticizes homosexuality. And of course, Ian McKellen, the actor who played Gandalf and many other roles, a really, really fine actor. But he is a very hateful man when it comes to people that he disagrees with, like Christians. And just like the Marxists, he doesn't want to have a disagreement with anybody. Whenever he stays in a hotel, he says he just takes the Bible out of the drawer and he rips the pages out that he doesn't like, because that's the way they roll. And that's what Facebook has been doing as well. Because that's the way they roll. It's a dictatorship that censors what people do. And I find it kind of interesting as we look at all the moves that have been made by this Chinese President Xi, saying that he's going to censor all the books by George Orwell because they're kind of too embarrassing for him. The comparisons are too obvious, right? Animal Farm, 1984. We have this article from the Wall Street Journal. Stranger than science fiction, the future of digital dictatorships. That is really what we're looking at. We're going to talk about this when we come back. We're coming up to the break right now, but what we're looking at here really is a digital dictatorship. See, just as we talked about with guns and the power that comes with guns, there's a lot of power in technology. I mean, guns are just simply a form of technology. If somebody's got a superior technology, in other words, they've got guns and you've only got knives or axes, that's going to make a difference in the balance of power. The same thing happens with digital surveillance, a tool of dictators. Welcome back. You know, we're in our final 10 hours. Actually, we're at the end of my 3 hours, so I guess we've got another 7 hours to go after this segment of Operation Paul Revere 2018, warning people about the coming censorship. And as I was just pointing out, the future for digital dictatorships. We're seeing that right now coming out of Silicon Valley, dictating what people can say and not say. Making the absurd claims that if they disagree with you politically, that's obviously harassment, bullying, so we can shut you down. But it's going to get far worse than that. A Wall Street Journal is even talking about it. We've been talking about it for quite some time here at InfoWars. That's why they want to shut us up. But let me tell you about some of the sales that we have, because that's what supports this operation, everything we do here at InfoWars. Sales that we're running as part of this Operation Paul Revere 2018. We have 50% off many of our most popular items right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Super Male, Super Female Vitality, both of those 50% off. The Real Red Pill, 50% off. Biome Defense, 50% off. True Whey Protein, 50% off. Prebiotic Fiber, that's fiber as well as probiotics together, 50% off. And we've got a lot of apparel that is 80% off. We even have an Aegis Armor backpack insert, a bulletproof insert for your backpack, 20% off. So take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a lot of things, 30 to 80% off right now. We really do appreciate your support. All right, as we're going to break, and I want to talk a little bit about this doomsday machine that everybody's talking about that Vladimir Putin unveiled. Play a little clip for you here as well. But they're talking about the digital dictatorship. And as part of this article, they show a guy doing maintenance on surveillance cameras. Because in China, they have surveillance cameras everywhere, just like they do in the UK, just like they do in the United States. And they say China's government is embracing technology to monitor its population. Aren't they all? Yeah, they all are. It's a national plan to develop artificial intelligence, and it highlights its irreplaceable role in effectively maintaining social stability. Yes, yes, we don't want social stability, the peace and security of constant oppression by these communist dictators. And this is what the end game for all of this surveillance stuff is. Social stability. See, when things get rough for you, they look at you, the proletariat, in their Marxist worldview. And this is a Marxist worldview sold by the bankers. Don't ever forget the involvement of the central bankers and big finance in pushing Marxism and giving Lenin $10 million and putting him on a sealed train from Switzerland into Russia to start the Russian Revolution. They've always wanted this as a means of control. And now they talk about you, the precariat, because they realize that as they take away more and more freedom from you, your ability to work, to earn a living, you become a precarious threat to them. So they call you the precariat. They say to some Chinese, it seems that their movements, their habits, their thoughts can be tracked by government with unchecked power. Not unlike our own. We look at what the NSA is doing to us through the Snowden document leaks and we don't do anything about it? That is the amazing thing to me. That's what gets me so concerned when I see the kind of talk that was coming out of the White House meeting with these people about gun control with Congress. I mean, after seeing that nothing has been done to stop the NSA abuses, even when it's now become obvious that they were involved in staging a coup to try to overthrow the election. Still, nothing is done. Instead, they reauthorize it and loosen the restrictions and keep the memo back until after they've done all that. I mean, this is the Republicans doing this. And the Democrats, who say that Trump is Hitler. Oh, no, give him all the power. Give him all the power. Let them continue to do this. And so they say, so really, is a digital dictatorship all-powerful? That's their question. And they say, really, the answer lies with the people who are the engineers. And really, that's where our freedom will come from. It's not going to be given away by the politicians. Nobody is ever going to give you your freedom. It will be taken. And if it is taken back, it will be taken back by people like Kim.com, people like Julian Assange, people like John McAfee. Some tech guy is going to overthrow their system of tyranny. Because understand, this came from DARPA. DARPA is funding these projects that Eric Schmidt was saying, oh, don't worry, we're at least 10 years away from computers coming after you, robots coming after you and attacking you. Right now, we're just studying everything that you're doing. While they have their AI programs constantly watching YouTube videos to study humans' movements. I mean, that was a story from a month or two ago. And when I saw that, it reminded me of the beginning of War of the Worlds, because we do have a war of two different worlds that is shaping up. As Hugo de Garis, who's talked about artificial intelligence, called it, he called it the Ardalec War. And he said it's going to result in giga death. And so as they do this and say, don't worry, we're really not going to kill you just yet. They point out that it's a big part of DARPA's budget for fiscal year 2019. They want general artificial intelligence, not even necessarily applied artificial intelligence. If they get general artificial intelligence, then they can have autonomous killing machines. So you have the Deputy General of NATO saying, well, you know, there's a rapid advance in technology. We could view this either as a threat or as something we could use. That's where these arms races come from. That's why we don't get control of these things. And just remember that DARPA invented the internet. Originally called DARPANET, but it was also originally invented by J.C.R. Licklider. This guy was a psychologist. He called it the Intergalactic Computer Network. And it was envisioned as a tool to surveil and manipulate the public. That's the purpose of the internet. Now we've had people who have taken control of it. We've been able to use it for our own purposes for a while, but now they're trying to strangle that down. That's why we're seeing the types of things that we're seeing out of Google, Facebook, Twitter, and others. Trying to take control of this control platform that they developed to start with. And as these Chinese are looking at this, and one guy has written a book that takes this on, has a dystopian, it's a dystopian novel, it's called A Ceremony. And he talks about how you've got some people who wake up and actually assassinate the dictator in China. Kind of like we've seen with this warning video showing how these, again, it was a swarm of mini drones like bees. Same scenario exactly that they acted out to oppose the idea of autonomous killing machines. Telling the politicians, you know what? You know who's going to be the first target of this? Just like we've seen the first and primary target of the NSA and the CIA has been not bad people, but interesting people, as Michael Hayden always said. And so they show this thing where these drones, who are very specific, they have facial recognition, they go straight for the opposition and take them out, even on the Senate floor. And that's what this guy did. He said, yeah, we have a dictator in this dystopian novel, and some guys in tech create these autonomous killing machines, these assassination drones. And he said, less than a decade ago, the internet and social media looked like powerful tools to promote freer expression, a more open, tolerant political order. Now, there's a lot of techno-pessimism that prevails. Why? Because it's about a balance of power. We know the nature of man. The people who wrote our Declaration of Independence and who wrote our Bill of Rights knew that we had to have certain things to have a life of dignity and freedom. And they knew that man had an evil nature, that power would corrupt individuals, would corrupt humans. And so we needed to make sure that that power was not concentrated. That's what technology is doing now. I'm not anti-technology. I was I was an engineer for many years. I was always the first one out to get a new gadget. I used to see it as liberating technology. It still can be. And we can still take this back. And we can still win the free speech fight. But right now, they are pulling it on full bore. And we stand right at a juncture. And so whether or not we're going to overturn this move, push this wave back, or whether or not it is going to overwhelm us. Right, when we talk about this, let's run it. We've got just a little bit of time to talk about Vladimir Putin's doomsday machine. At least they told us about it before something happened, unlike Dr. Strangelove. Okay, it was so bizarre that experts are having a hard time believing that it's real. And maybe it isn't. Maybe he's just pandering to his military-industrial complex like we create imaginary threats and pander to ours. But here's the video with Vladimir Putin talking about his doomsday nuclear machine.
We created the small-sized, super-powerful nuclear power plant, which can be installed in the body of a cruise missile, such as our air-based newest missile, the CH-101, or American Tomahawk, but at the same time provides tenfold bigger flying range, which can be unlimited.
All right, so that's the idea. And the translator said, when he saw this, expert said, I thought I was reading a mistranslation. I'm not really sure if I believe this. To say he's got something with unlimited range that cannot be stopped is a doomsday machine. Well, we'll find out more about that.